Have any of you ever felt like you were in a slightly less dramatic version of that video? I know I have. I've never had my eyes do that, though. You should get that checked. I do have some of those embarrassing photos, though, you know, where I think if somebody showed me a high school photo of myself when I had lightning bolts carved into the side of my head, I was the unique one. All my soccer team friends had their numbers carved into their head. But what if someone did show you a picture of yourself as a child and said, what would that person say about the priorities you have now? Because I think it'd be pretty funny, and I want you to picture the most embarrassing photo you can think of yourself. There's no mind fi in here, so no one else can see it. But tell that kid what your priorities are. What would they say to you? Last week we talked about work. Pastor Andrew told us about how it's so important that when we work as if we're doing it for the Lord. And that's true. We need to work. We need to work for Jesus. When we're doing our jobs, we need to do them well. But there's also this other area of our lives that we too often neglect, and it's when we rest, or at least when we're supposed to rest. I think that what we do when we're at rest says a lot about our character. We live in a culture that makes an idol out of work. We live in a culture that says, if you're not currently working, you're doing something wrong. If you're not currently working, you need to apologize for it. I know that for me, I feel this strange temptation when people tell me how busy they are. Internally, I don't feel like I should find a way to make them less busy. I feel like I should compete with them and tell them how busy I am. And then maybe they'll tell me why they're so busy, and I'll tell them why I'm more busy. That's the temptation. To have this sort of competition over who can be the busiest. Work isn't bad. It's good. Work helps us be productive, helps us take care of ourselves, our families, of our communities. Work involves good things. But sometimes we buy into this lie that if we work harder and faster and longer, then we'll achieve some sort of working nirvana. All of a sudden, we will have achieved it, and we're like, hey, we're done. We never actually get there. We start to buy into this idea that, well, if I just work a little harder and a little more, then, you know, I'll be able to take care of my basic needs. And then we start to buy into, well, if I work even a little harder than that, then not only will I take care of my basic needs, but I can take care of, you know, a few other people's needs. And then it becomes, well, I can get everything I want. But that can't be our goal. That can't be what we're about. I want to focus on a couple scripture passages today. One story is from Jesus, and the other is the prophet Elijah. So if you have your Bibles, open up to 1 Kings 19 and also Matthew 11. 1 Kings is probably about a quarter of the way through your Bible before Psalms. And then Matthew is probably about three quarters of the way into your Bible, and it's the first book of the New Testament. So we're going to be looking at 1 Kings 19 and Matthew 11, but we're going to start with Matthew 11. Jesus said, "All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and those whom the Son chooses to reveal him." And then he says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Jesus tells the disciples this just before in chapter 12. He goes on to talk about the Sabbath and how the Sabbath is important, but it's not important because God says to do it. It's important because it was created for us. Rest is for us. When Jesus uses this metaphor of this yoke and picture a team of oxen, he really doesn't want people to miss the point. It's not that we're not going to do work. His metaphor about rest uses work. It uses this image of this team of oxen that yokes have been custom fitted for, because Jesus recognizes that this team isn't all the same size. There's differences. A good yoke is custom fit to the oxen. It's custom fit for the work. And when Jesus says this, he's saying, come to me, not because you won't have to do anything, but because the burden I'm putting on you, the things that I'm calling you to do, are custom fit for you. And in me, you will find rest. You will find rest. The next passage comes from 1 Kings 19. It's the story of Elijah searching for the voice of God. He wants to hear God. And there's an important backstory to this. And it's that in Exodus 19, Moses is on this very same mountain. He's on the very same mountain, and he has the very same experiences, except for one. This is what the Lord is saying to Elijah. Go and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountains apart. That happens in Exodus. Shattered the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind, there was an earthquake. The earthquake is also in Exodus. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. After the fire came a gentle whisper. That's the part that's not in Exodus. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face because he recognized God's voice and went out and stood at the mouth of the cave. Then a voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? The voice of God was in the silence. The voice of God was found in the stillness. It was important for Elijah because he's talking to a nation that's worried about being invaded, that's worried about being taken over, and they're wanting to know, God, why aren't you speaking to me? And God responds, I'm still the same God who does the earthquake thing and the fire thing. But you're also going to hear me in the silence because I want you to listen. There have been times in my life where I believe the Holy Spirit was clearly giving me a direction. There's been times where I've heard nothing. But as I read the Bible, I find countless examples of times when God is speaking and people aren't listening. People are so focused on everything else that's going on that no one is listening. God gave us Sabbath for a reason. God gave us rest for our sake. Rest is something we need to survive. It's something that's not easy. It's not easy in a culture that says if you're not working, you're not doing enough. In some cases, work is impossible to avoid. Jess and I were watching a documentary on Netflix about stress this week. And in addition to all these different things that stress can do to your body, they did a study of a group of mothers who were raising special needs children. Children that needed attention all the time. And these mothers were incredibly stressed. And when they tested their blood, they found that There's certain chromosomes that there's caps on the end of them, and the caps start to fray. And that's just a normal process of aging, but these women had an amount of praying that was about 10 years older than they actually were. They were aging at an incredible rate because of the stress involved in caring for their children, something they had to continue doing. But this amazing thing happened when these women got together for an hour a week. After a little while, they tested their blood again and found that the ends of these chromosomes had actually started to heal. Not just stop aging, but heal. Now, this isn't the fountain of youth. They didn't suddenly get younger. But there was a healing in community. There was a healing because they got together and shared each other's burdens. To me, when Jesus is talking about that team of oxen and the yoke, part of the reason you have the yoke is so everyone works together. The cool thing about being the church is that we get to bear each other's burdens. When we're stressed, we get to carry each other. Our connection to each other can be its own stress reliever. These women are remarkable in what they're doing, and they can't stop doing it. But they found that if they spend this 1 hour with each other, things got better, things got easier. Now, I don't want you to say their name out loud or even look at anybody, but I want you to think about the most stressed out person you know. I see a few of you looking around at each other. Think about the most stressed out person you know, and what would it look like to give that person rest? What could you do to give rest? Think about times when you haven't rested. What happens when you are completely exhausted? What was that? Get cranky, you get sick, you get less productive. See, that's the thing about work. If you keep doing it and never stop, you actually do less. That's why companies that make those lists of best companies to work for have like fitness centers, and I think Google has Segways you can ride around. Andrew, can we get some of those? But you get snippy, you get less productive. Rest is powerful. It shouldn't surprise us that Jesus said the Sabbath is for us, or that Elijah found God in stillness, because they had to stop and listen. I know that when I get stressed, my first inclination isn't towards just doing something that relaxes me. It's towards completely shutting down. It's towards getting in one of those technology loops, like Fred there, where I'm just constantly searching, constantly filling my brain with information. What I need to do is get in this boat. This is my kayak. I relax more in this boat than almost anywhere else. One of my favorite things to do is get in the boat and paddle as hard as I can for as long as I can, and then just stop. Just stop, put my paddle in my lap, and sit there and listen. Because there's something so powerful about listening, about stopping. It's honestly one of the most humbling experiences I've ever had. Because I'll go out in my kayak and all of a sudden I'll realize there's a lot of stuff happening around me. I did it a lot this summer working at a camp in Maine, and I'd go out into the middle, and I remember one of the first weeks I was there, paddling out into the middle of the lake and thinking, man, this silence is beautiful. And then I started to listen, and I realized there was no silence at all. There was tons of stuff happening around me that I had never even noticed. There were birds, there was annoying little bugs flying on the water. There was the sound of water. there was a person or two on the shore. I started to hear things that I had never really paid attention to. And that's the thing about relaxing. It's not that we just shut down and don't take anything in. It's that we start to listen. And I think life is often like being out there in a kayak. If I were to take this kayak and get in it and go in the middle of a lake or in the middle of the river and start filling it with water, it actually wouldn't sink. It would be really hard to sink this boat. I could fill the middle with water, and there's still enough air in there that it's going to keep my head above water. The kayak is going to be just underneath the surface of the water, and I'm going to be sustainable. I'll survive. The ship won't sink because I'm just going to keep adding just enough that I'll be right there on the water's edge. We can't live life like that. If we're always living life so filled that we don't recognize the weight of our own burden, then we miss out on what Jesus was saying when he said, "My burden is light." We need to realize that God's place in our lives is more important than that. I was reading a sermon by a preacher named Alan Perkins, and he highlighted four things about rest that I think are really, really important. First, rest helps us regain perspective. There's something really important about stepping back. Stepping back and viewing our lives in a new way. The important stuff in life doesn't become less important because you've decided to relax. That thing you have to do by the end of the day or by the end of the week or by the end of the month doesn't get done because you're relaxing. But if we take a step back, maybe we see those things in a different way. We see what our priorities actually are, because I think sometimes we've, and I know I've done this, confuse the desire to kind of get stuff done and work with the end goal, which is to worship God, to love God, to enjoy life. And we get so stuck on the work part that we forget the rest. We forget what our priorities actually are. In our desire to provide and get the stuff we want that's going to make us happy, we never really get around to the happiness part. Even as you walk out of here today, stop before you get in your car and look out at the valley. Just look out at this thing that you see for many of you every day. This thing that you drive around in, walk around in, live in. And just look at it from high up. Look at it and see if you see anything new. Take the time to just watch. On your way home today, ask yourself and maybe someone else what they think your priorities really are. And if your schedule lines up with those priorities. Second, we're reminded that we're created in the image of God when we rest. We are not the sum of what we accomplish. We are not the sum of what we accomplished. It doesn't work that way. We don't get to take our accomplishments in some sort of big bag with us in the end. It's not how it works. We are the image of the invisible God. We are that image to our neighbors. We're that image to our coworkers. What do they see? What do they see in you? Third, and this is the one that I feel like God has been teaching me the most in the last year, is that rest keeps us humble. Take the time to notice what's going on around you. I'm continually reminded of the Holy Spirit. Like I said, when I'm in my kayak, when I look around and I start to notice that there actually are all these things going on around me that are still going to happen whether I'm there or not, it's humbling. One of my greatest life lessons, I guess, that I ever received about my faith is that I was in a worship service when I was in college, and I was just feeling really self-conscious. I felt like everyone in the room was kind of looking at me, and I wanted to be sure that I was giving, you know, the right attention to the proper amount of hand-raising or whatever else was going on. And the worship leader, as if he was talking directly to me, though I'm sure he wasn't, the worship leader said, "I know there's some of you holding back right now, and I just want you to hear one thing, and don't take this the wrong way, but you're not that important." And he was absolutely right. In that moment, what I needed to know was that my own self-importance wasn't the point of what I was doing. My desire to do everything right was getting in the way of what I would have said was the goal, which was worship. And then this is the last one, and it kind of sums up all the others. Rest reminds us that God is in control. If you say God is in control of your life, you need to take a step back, look at your life, and answer the question, is he really? Is there space there for God? Not just a 15-minute period that you carve out so you can read your Bible. Do that. But where is your rest? Where is that thing that you find life-giving? That you can just connect with God because you're doing something that you know he created you to do. That you know he created you for rest in this way. In just a minute, we're going to transition into a time of prayer. And as we do, I want to read those words of Jesus one more time. We're going to read those words, and I just want you to think about your own priorities, your own life, and maybe receive this message from Jesus. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Friends, take the time to rest. Amen.